You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
I hope she's given.
You know, when she came back and there was an interview or was an article about her or something.
Yeah, and
she said she can't get a job. And then now I started to feel bad because myself and other people with shows like this made relentless jokes about the poor woman. And she was a kid. She was 21, 22 or something.
40 now, it's hard to believe.
So I'm thinking, oh, Lord, it's sort of like that violence in the elevator. Is it funny because they're just famous? Or overall, with some perspective, do you realize, well, this is a sad human situation?
It is, and as I said, you know, the president, President Clinton, has been able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton may run for president. I wish them both well. Monica is still stuck in the humor of it, and she is an intelligent and nice woman. I interviewed her years ago, and the last question I said is, what will you tell your children? And she said, Mommy made a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
If Hillary does not run, will you? You have said that if she runs for president, you will not run.
No, I haven't.
Tell me what you said.
The only reason to run for president of the United States, if you truly believe you're a better position to do what you think is most needed in the country. Whether she runs or not will not affect my decision.
Any type of bigotry behind us, regardless of who it's towards, whether it's, you know, the LGBT community, whether it's xenophobia, you know, fear of people from other countries. We've come a long way, and with that progress comes a price where we're a lot more vigilant in what we, and we're a lot less tolerant of different views. And it's not necessarily easy for everybody to adapt or evolve. I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or the other. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is May 25th, 2014, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Of course, I'm J. Ryle.
And I never share the stage by myself. And I tell you, we were light this morning, but I tell you what, the show must go on. Mr. Elias is not here today. He's taking care of some stuff with his family. But I am here with the very lovely Dr. Princess Aldea, who happens to be the author of the book, Pregnant in the Spirit. She's also one of the personalities on the Jay Ryle Show. She's the leader of the True Purpose Development Movement, and she is also one of the co-hosts on Ladies First Radio. Did I miss anything? Transforming Detroit, she's a TV host. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Odia. Good morning. How are you?
I am very well. Good morning, Jay. And, yes, the new show on the ABC Network, yes, starting July 12th. Yes, absolutely.
So now you said the new show. Are we talking about the Transforming Detroit?
Yes. Yes, okay. We're now going to be on an ABC network, Channel 20, starting July 12th. So we're moving up and moving stations. So we're very excited about that.
Well, good. We're excited for you as well. And as always, we want people in the Detroit area and Canada, I've been corrected on that, to pay attention to that show. And, of course, it's in good hands with you at the helm. Folks, it's a great, great Sunday. Once again, it's the Memorial Day weekend. We want you to take time out and make sure that you pay homage to those who have given their lives in order for us to really enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. I think sometimes we get caught up in the fact that it's Memorial Day, what are you on a barbecue, things of that nature. I think, you know, people should take the time out to visit a veteran's memorial or go somewhere where there are graves of veterans and things of that nature and just pay your respects because they've given the ultimate sacrifice for you to be able to do what you do and what we're doing this morning, which is having a very, hopefully, great conversation. Now, listen, of course, Jerome Spree, our political strategist, he comes along here shortly after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. But until then, we always hold the fort down, so let's get into the conversation. Monica Lewinsky has resurfaced. She had an interview with Vanity Fair magazine, and she started talking about the Clinton years. She talked about things that happened back in the day, and one of the things she said, it's time to burn the beret and the blue dress. It's time to burn that and move on. Now, I would like to think that we've moved on from this. But, you know, as you heard the lead-in, Barbara Walters was on the David Letterman show. She said this. Look, the Clintons have moved on. Monica Lewinsky is still stuck in the 90s when it comes to this. And it's just time for this young lady to move on. Now, my question to you, Dr. Princess O'Day, is this. She's bringing up old news. She's opening up old wounds. So is this a situation where we're looking at, okay, the 2016 elections are right around the corner. Everyone thinks that Hillary's going to run, even though she hasn't made the official announcement. What do you think? Do you think the GOP is behind this nonsense? What say you?
Well, I don't know what benefit it would be for them. I mean, she said that it's time to put it to rest, but she did bring up the conversation. But in her conversation, she said she's going to let it go, right?
Well, you know, they're bringing this stuff up. I don't know. You just have to ask the question why, you know. And we talk about how, you know, Monica Lewinsky, you know, God bless her, you know, she went through a terrible time and, you know, it's not fair what people did and all this other nonsense. But if you want to move on from this, then why do you continue to bring this up?
Well, she brought it up because when we see Monica Lewinsky, that's the only thing we see. She's not famous because she's Monica Lewinsky. She's famous because of what she did with Bill Clinton. So maybe she's trying to reinvent her own will and say, please listen, I'm here, but I'm more than the girl who laid up with Bill Clinton. So it's like she has to come out almost defending herself. I don't know. If when she says, okay, it's time to move on, but yeah, of course, in an interview, who would interview Monica Lewinsky and not bring that up and ask her at least, where are you now today, based on what, you know, the conversation is going to come up because that's who she is. That's who she is to us. That's all she is to us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like Samuel L. Jackson being a comedian and then he's changing the mark and he doesn't want to be a comedian anymore and he wants to do something, he wants to be a singer. And every time he has an interview, he's talking about when he was a comedian. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's that extreme. That's all she is to us.
Yeah,
she is only
that is
the person
who was with Bill Clinton. I mean, that's it. She has
it's really to the extreme because Samuel L. Jackson is not a comedian, but that's okay. We'll let you pass.
Well, you know what I mean. What I'm saying. To me, he's a comedian. When I see Samuel, he's an actor. He's a phenomenal actor, but he's a hilarious actor. He's more so a hilarious actor than an actor that's not hilarious. I mean, that's who he is. He's a funny actor. That's what maybe I shouldn't use comedian, but I'm saying he's a funny person. Okay, he's funny. You know, so if he just starts not being funny, and you know, we say, "What are you talking about?" And that is Samuel L. You know, that's my guy. Okay, so maybe this is personal because I love Samuel and I love him for his humor and his wit.
Okay, let's get back on Monica. Go ahead.
Yes. So Monica, I mean, I'm just saying that's all it is to her. No, nothing else. She has nothing else but that. So maybe she's trying to say, I don't want to be just that. I'm somebody else. Because she was a smart person, I'm sure. She was in the White House working.
You know, she was an intern there. But here's the thing with that. You know, and you have to put yourself in her shoes. She can't get a job. She says she hasn't had a job. So, you know, the bottom line is, if this is the only thing that will allow you to be able to, you know, earn a living, then I guess on one hand we say that why is she bringing this up? But on the, you know, but if this is the only way she can, you know, get income, then you know, how can we blame her for this?
Well, that's just it. We can't blame her. The media made this one. She made it. She did it. And then, you know,
the media didn't make this. She made it herself.
Well,
I mean, I don't know about the media. I don't understand that.
The media, well, you know what? We all fed into it. You know, no matter what. Yeah, you know, she did what she did, but we all fed into it. The media milked it like crazy. She has a book out.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something.
Hey, she's got her life going.
Let me ask you this. How did the media milk it and we jump? Listen, you're talking about the President of the United States having an affair.
I know.
This is not
that's
a Hollywood
fine.
Story.
I'm not saying that it was wrong that they did what they did, but I'm telling you it is what it is. They did make it. They did. I mean, we fed into it for a long, 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 long time. For a really long time. And
okay.
We never let it rest. Like, media never let anything rest. I mean, so
we did
you?
Let it rest. We haven't heard from her, and I don't know how long. See, this
time.
Is the reason why. This is the reason why I think the GOP is behind this. Because why all of a sudden, after all these years, we're talking about Monica Lewinsky? Is it the fact that 2016 is right around
good.
The corner? Is that coincidental? No, it's not. Let's be real here.
Okay, so what? So you think it's for the purpose of the Clinton name or for the purpose of the Democratic
Absolutely.
Party? Absolutely. And it's what, the Clinton name? The Clinton name?
Yes, Dr. Princeton O'Dea, absolutely
okay,
it is.
So do you think when people now go back to do research, they're going to find something about Hillary about this? I mean, because she was very poised in that situation. Yeah, they talked about, what is it, the White Gate? I forgot what was that.
Whitewater.
They had some situation. Yeah, the
Whitewater.
The white guy. The Whitewater. I mean, I don't think there was anything really bad about Hillary, though. Hillary was a woman back then.
Well, wait a minute.
People talked about
now.
How she was cool. She held herself during that situation.
Well, but you know the thing is that I think that when that first happened, everyone was sympathetic to her. Here's a woman standing by her man, you know, and she was really popular. But since then, you know, she has shown some of that Clinton zeal to say, look, it's by any means necessary. So to sit here and think that Hillary is an angel, that's not the case. A lot of people didn't like the way she ran her campaign against President Barack Obama. A lot of people were turned off by her. She pissed a lot of African-Americans off. You know, both her and Bill. Now, you know, everything's back in order because obviously, you know, the president made her the Secretary of State. But the bottom line is that it's not like people are saying, oh, we feel sorry for you. No, they don't feel sorry for her at all. But the thing is that my question is, why does it come up now? And, you know, this is the reason why I hate politics. You know, there's no reason on God's green earth to be talking to Monica Lewinsky. Not now. But It's all about, and I wish he was here, and hopefully he'll be here shortly, political strategists. It's time to start casting that die in the water. Even though it may not, you know, some people may not pay attention to it, but now it's a story that's out there lingering. And it will make itself true, or it will come around when 2016 hits, I guarantee you. 13 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'll call the number 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation if you like. We ask that you tell us where you're calling from and make your topic and your point short and sweet. No disrespect, no cursing, and we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about Monica Lewinsky. She had an interview with Vanity Fair magazine. And she's bringing up the Clinton years, talking about what happened back in the day. And we're starting to ask the question, why? What is it about this smells like, you know, the GOP? So now, let me ask you a question. You're a female. If you were in a situation where you were disrespected, you know, you had an affair with the most powerful man in the world, people looked at you, you confided in a friend, because I think we forget what happened during that time period. She confided in Linda Tripp. Linda Tripp, you know, pretty much ratted her out, and it became a big, big, big story. And a lot of people were mad at Linda Tripp, Dr. Princess O'Dea, for actually bringing this up, for actually taking it to the media. But, you know, look, we're talking about the President of the United States. Should she have not done that? Man, I know that sounded crazy. Or should she have kept it to herself? If a friend confides in you and says, look, I slept with – if you tell, you know, Momo B that you slept with President Obama, isn't she obligated to report that to somebody?
No. I mean, why? She said it in confidence. That's
why?
Not like a well, she said
why?
It in confidence. That's it's a personal issue. It's a personal
issue. No,
it's issue.
Not it's a personal
like
issue.
It is a personal issue. Oh, was he doing okay God. During that time? The economy was in a surplus. I mean, was he doing okay? I mean, was what he was doing on his personal life, what he was doing on his personal life, how extreme it was?
Oh boy!
Did it affect the economy, and did it affect what he was doing? I mean, can we say that? More so, the drama that came behind that action, because you know we jump on stuff like that. You know, hey, so now we know what he was doing. I mean, come on, let's keep it real, Jay. People have been doing that in the White House for years, for you know, come on. People do, men cheat, women cheat. They've been doing it for a long time, you know? I mean, I don't care who you are, there are people all over the world, they do it, okay? So I'm just saying, that was a personal matter, and actually it was a distraction, okay? Bringing it out to the forefront. I mean, people were more focused on that than they were about what was going on in the world, I swear. I mean, what, people fed into the mess. Let's keep it real. Come on, people do
but,
it anyway.
Okay,
people do it anyway.
You're the same person, okay, you're the same person who said that, you know, well, Mitt Romney, if he has offshore accounts in other countries, whose business is it? And, he, you know, it's. Let me tell you something. When you are the president
well,
of the
no,
United
maybe.
States, No, no,
okay,
you said that. Yes, you did. You said that, and everyone jumped on you because we're like, what do you mean? If you're the president, if your money is in a foreign country, you can be easily compromised. Like you said, we're humans. So someone calls the president and say, hey, look, you know what? I got some information that can take you down. Hey, I won't say a damn thing if you put your weight behind this particular bill. The office can be easily compromised. And if you have a person, and maybe I'm in the minority with this, if you have a person that is out here throwing his ding-dong around like it's, you know, nobody's business, I think that's a problem. And I think Linda Tripp did the right thing by telling someone that, hey, this guy is the president. You are on a whole different level. Maybe I'm in the minority.
Come on. Okay. He's not a preacher that all of a sudden we say, well, he's a
preacher.
Doesn't
matter.
Oh, my God, I can't believe he cheated. Okay, but listen, I'm just saying, he's a man. Things, they do it all the time. I'm not surprised. The only thing that was, I don't think anybody was surprised. Oh, he's cheating. Okay, oh, wow, now we know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying, it's not something to take lightly because I don't support that. I don't support that, but I also don't support how Linda, she she totally took advantage of her confidence. She betrayed her confidence.
What?
I have a problem with that. I do. I have a problem with that because she was confiding for whatever reason, you know, and then she was put on the mark and put on the map out in the public and open. I mean, that was rude. I mean, what? Was she jealous? What was her reason as a
jealous
woman that
what are we talking?
Yes. I'm just saying. No, I know she.
What are you talking
I don't
about?
Know she was, but what was her reasoning for going public with that and betraying
because
that
he's
young
the
girl
president of the United States.
Okay, so what? That had nothing to do with his sexuality and his sex.
What?
Okay, so his sexuality. I'm just saying they do it anyway. People do things anyway. If we really put a camera in the rooms of the White House, I'm sure there's a whole lot of hanky panky going on. That's corporate stuff right there that happens all the time. You know, presidents and CEOs and managers and just employees. Period. People that has been the thing, not the thing, but that happens. It's not uncommon, is what I'm saying, Jay. Come on, are you serious? It's really not uncommon. He cheated. How many men have cheated? Have you cheated before, Jay? Have you done something in an
office
before?
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Okay,
listen to me. Okay, here, let me ask you a question for you.
They should have kept it. I wish it could have been kept there. But because he's the president, they couldn't keep it there. And Linda should have kept her mouth shut because that young woman was coming to her and confiding in her. And she should have, if anything, she could have helped the young woman through it and maybe help her to stop doing what she was doing. Maybe she was talking to her because she's like, look, I this is what I did. I don't know what to do, blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever. Unless she didn't want to do it, then that's when she failed. If she was being raped, but she wasn't being raped, she was doing what she was doing. Now, if she was raped, that's a different story. You know, if she was raped, then yes, absolutely. We all need to know that, for sure.
This is going to sound not good. And let me go ahead and put the disclaimer out there right now. I am, because this is going to sound crazy. I know it is, and I know people are going to be pissed off when I say this, but I am going to say it. The country... You know what, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to spend the next 20 minutes explaining what I'm saying. All I can say to you is this, and I'll put it in this. Let me see, can I put a bow on it this way? In war, there's collateral damage, right? And to me, if you're in a situation where the President of the United States, and I hope someone can make this connection because I'm trying to figure out a way to bridge this where people can try to come to the conclusion that I really want to say, but I don't want to say it because, once again, I don't want to piss people off. And, you know, we do have an obligation as, you know, media people not to say things that will offend folks. And I know people will take it the wrong way. I'll say it this way. When the President of the United States is conducting him or herself in an unmorally way, you are obligated as an American citizen to report that. That's like someone saying, well, hold on. That's like someone saying, you know, hey, I smoked crack with Marion Barry when he was the mayor of Washington, D.C. I'm not going to say nothing. That, you know, he confided in me that the mayor smokes crack. Are you nuts? Yes, I'm going to go tell someone because he is the mayor. He has people's lives. He makes decisions every day that affect families all across, you know, all through his city, and in the president's case, all across the country and the world. So you're trying to tell me if this person is unsavory, I'm not going to report this to someone? Are you kidding me? Really?
Okay. Well, you know what? I guess from a woman's standpoint, I'm thinking about Monica at the time. I'm thinking about the reasons why she would have gone to this older woman to talk to her and tell her what, you know, she had done. And if I'm not, I wish I could look this up right now, but I'm on the road because I don't know if Linda was having an affair. There was some, I don't know who. I have to look this up because I'm almost certain that she was having an affair herself. So
she was not.
No, I have to look it up because there it was some.
I'll look it up for you
out.
During the break. No, she,
please
no, she wasn't.
Do, please
I mean,
do,
I
please
know she
do.
Wasn't.
No, no, no. There was. Where? I have. Oh, you know what? I don't know. Maybe that was JFK. Sorry.
Well,
no,
boy.
I'm thinking about a woman that came out with a book. Yeah,
that
yeah,
was JFK.
No, wrong one.
Dr. Princess.
That was JFK.
It was JFK.
That was JFK. So, okay, good. I stand corrected. But I'm just saying, I was thinking about her coming and telling, okay? I'm thinking about the wisdom of it. It should have been dealt with, absolutely, because he's married and, you know.
Not according to you.
It's not right. It's not fair.
Not according
to
you.
It's not right. What I'm saying is, I don't believe that she should have betrayed her confidence. I just don't believe she should have betrayed her confidence.
Not according
believe,
to you. You're
well,
right.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I believe that if Linda could have, you know, I don't know. She probably, her confiding, she must have had an issue with what she was doing, and she's deciding, like, you know, she's caught between a rock and a hard place. Now look at what she's doing. Yeah, I mean, she should have confronted. Clinton should have been confronted. And I guess.
No, not according
way.
To you.
Okay,
not according to you. It's okay.
Yeah, no.
It's okay for the President of the United States to stick his ding-dong and whoever he wants to make
okay.
deals offshore.
I didn't say it's okay.
Yes, you are. You're supporting that.
I'm
yes, you are.
I'm saying that it's personal, Matt. I'm saying it's personal, and I'm
it's
saying...
It's not personal when you're the President of the United States.
I'm saying it's personal. It is personal.
It's not.
And yeah, we look at that, and it's immoral. It's not. I'm not saying, condoning it, thinking, oh, it's right. You go ahead and do it. You know, I'm not saying that. And I guess with him being the president, it would have been no way to say, I mean, to go to media is one thing, but yeah, I mean, she should have confronted, you know, maybe she could have even told Hillary and told him. And maybe I don't know if it could have been private, I'm not sure. But, I mean, for her to go to the media with it, I think that
yeah.
was, I mean, I don't know if it could have been kept in-house, but it should have been kept in-house. I don't think it was our business. I think if it was going to be dealt with, I believe it could have been a way that it could have been kept in house instead
not
of being
our
public. That's what I'm. That I don't think it's
not
our business.
Business.
It's
not our business. It's not our business what happens in a house that we pay for
Do
him to live
what?
In.
Do you know what? Okay.
That's
okay,
right. You're right. It's not our
people,
business.
Oh, hold on. There are people that are listening, but I'm going to say a perfect example happens to be the way scandal was handled. Okay, I'm just going to say the perfect example.
God.
No, I've got to say this.
I've got to say this.
Because to me, that was an example of how things are kept hush, hush, hush in the house or whatever. And maybe in real life, it can't be hush, hush because someone's going to leak all the time and take it to the media. But in house, there were so many things going on and nobody knew. Okay. I was thinking, what if that could have been like that? Like, for example, Olivia was fooling around with the president's wife. She knew that. She didn't. She knew it. She confronted her, and it was all her touch. When they went before the world, the only thing that was important was what was happening in the world. They smiled at that camera. They handled what they had to do politically, and they went back to the White House BS, but it was in the White House, and it was between the family. His staff protected the family. His staff protected the family and whatever else was going on because they didn't want that mess to be brought out. What I'm saying, I wish that they would have had such a staff that they would have kept that in the White House, kept that between the first family. I wish they would have. It would have protected the kids.
Right.
We put their children on blast. We put their
family
on blast.
They only have one child.
What I'm saying, I understand they have the young girl, but what I'm saying is,
she's a
young woman now. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is this: if they could have kept that in house, it would have been so much better. I believe they had no, you know, structure to do that, no commitment to loyalty to that. They should have kept that in there. It wasn't our business. I think they should have been better at keeping that stuff to themselves or the staff doing whatever they have to do to keep it between the first family. It wasn't our business. I don't give a care. I don't care. Let's focus on America. Focus on the world. Why do I care about who you? I don't care. Why do I care? Why do you care? Because you like drama. Yeah, you do. You like drama, like most Americans.
Well, I tell you what. If this is what's going to be happening for the next 2 hours, God bless us all. Good Jesus Christ. All right, coming up next, folks, we're going to talk about Clinton or Biden or none of the above. You're listening to Access Hollywood right here on the TGRS Radio Network.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
if I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Welcome back in. That was the sounds of Mark Cuban talking about comments he made earlier this week to a reporter. That's coming up third set here on the Sirius side. Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our calling number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Sirius side. It's 35 minutes after the hour. Hanging here with Dr. Princess Aldea. Good morning. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you this morning? How's everyone?
Doing outstanding. Now, the thing is that we have a segment called, before we go, Chatterbox. Chatterbox is where we read comments from the social media world and comments from our world-famous chat room. And I'm going to read a comment that I just read from Mariana Music that who just joined us. And she asked a question. She said, listen, Jay is going to need blood pressure medication if it's just him and the princess for the whole show this morning, LOL. Mariana Music, you are absolutely correct. If it's just me and her, it's going to be a rough show. I'm just joking. You can tune in, though. You can call it 347-850-1272. Okay, listen, we're talking about Clinton versus Biden. You heard, well, you didn't hear the lead-in. He was asked if Hillary Clinton's running for president, does that have anything to do? Would that have any effect on his decision whatsoever? His is in Joe Biden. Biden says no. I think he's going to run, Dr. Princess Aldea, and the president is going to be in a very tough spot if that's the case.
Okay. You said Joe Biden is going to run?
I think Joe Biden's going to run. I think he's going to run. I think he's going to run for president. I think it's going to be him and Clinton for the Democratic nominee. I really and truly believe that. Unless President Obama steps in and says, look, we don't need this. We don't need you guys to run, because think about this. In the history of our nation, have we ever had a situation where, you know, a VP and a Secretary of State, people who are in line for the presidency just in case the president, you know, something happens to the president, two people within his own cabinet running for the highest office in the land? If you're the president, who would you support, Hillary or Biden?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know. The likely story would be they would support Joe Biden, I think, because Hillary, you know, there are major odds against her. You know, one, she's a female. We've never had a female, so we're now getting ready to embark
well,
upon
but see,
another,
we can't do that.
Another
we
historical.
Can't do that.
I don't want to do that.
We can't
I'm
do
saying
that.
What people do. I'm telling you what people do.
Okay,
but
well, we can't
people
do that.
Do. But the historically, I mean, hey, we can't do that when you're talking about a black president. But guess what? That's what happens. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I mean, come on. I'm just saying the odds are against her. The stakes that are in the ground and the obstinacy that she'll have and the things that she'll deal with will be that she'll have to face will be much greater than those that Joe Biden would have to face. That's just bottom line. That's the country we live in. Hello? Okay, we're coming up with racism, and now we're going to come up with some situation. We've got the female thing. Now women are going to step up and probably march in for power, because now we'll also realize, when she's running, we'll also realize how sexist our country is, okay? So now we're just going down the line, tick, 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 tick. We're socially prejudiced, we're sexist, socially prejudiced, we're racially prejudiced. I mean, these are the things that we deal with. So, you know, after she's done, maybe we'll get somebody that's gay, and he'll try to run, and then we'll really have a fight. So we can deal with all of the things that's wrong with our country can come out. I'm just saying, come on.
Oh,
let's just keep it real. Joe Biden has a much better chance.
Because
he's a male. Just because he's a male. It doesn't have anything to do with his history or anything. But the fact that he's a male, if he's running against Hillary, are you kidding me? His stakes are much greater than hers.
What?
So,
He has a better chance than her. Just because he's a man.
How?
Believe me. Oh, this is going to be great. Because guess what? You're going to realize.
Stop. Listen to me, please. Because he's a man?
Yes,
you think
absolutely.
He has a better chance of winning the Democratic nomination than Hillary Clinton? Are you serious?
Yes, because he's a man. I do.
Wow.
I believe that a lot of people will vote for him, and maybe I believe some people will be more apt to even vote for the Democratic Party just because of how, you know, at the end of the day, the things that have taken place with President Barack Obama being president, and it has been an excellent tenure he's had, I believe that there will be some people who will try, who will vote now for the Democratic Party, and not so much Democratic Party as it is to vote for somebody that has been under, they have been working with President Barack Obama, and they would like for them to at least have a prayer in the world where things continue as they have been and as they are starting to come and people are starting to realize, like, wow, okay, I guess he's done pretty darn good. You know, can we kind of keep it the same? I believe people will make that decision. But when it comes to Hillary Clinton, I believe she has a good chance. There are people that who will vote for her, me being one. But I don't think, I know for a fact, the fact that she's a female, oh, come on, baby, please. You will realize. You're going to be like those, you know how people say, we're not racist. Our people aren't racist. That is so long ago. You're going to be one of those, just like you said, oh, no, that has nothing to do with it, because you're so blind to it. Now people can honestly say, well, darn it, I be darned. We are a racist country. Like, totally. Like, oh, my God, I didn't realize that we were so prejudiced like that. Now that people
oh
are starting
goodness.
To realize that there's wow. prejudice and it's significant. So let me tell you something right now, honey. You're going to be one of those that say, I can't believe we're that sexist. You're going to realize. It's not just the Republicans that who are sexist, baby. You're going to realize that. We have a certain image as a woman. And it will be a barrier that she will, something she will definitely have to deal with during her campaign, 100%. I think President Barack Obama is going to make a fair choice. First of all, let me ask you a question.
Okay, you've been talking for the last 10 minutes. Let me jump in here for a second.
I
just don't understand how you can say that, you know, Biden has a better chance when he is nowhere close to her in any of the poll numbers. Hillary is knocking him out the box. Not only is she knocking him out the box, she's knocking out. I know Jerome, he's not a poll guy. And listen, you know, he and I have to agree to disagree. I think polls, if polls didn't mean anything, people wouldn't spend a lot of money to have these things done. You have to take the temperature and the pulse of the country if you're planning on running for president. Hillary is knocking out all the GOP pretenders as well. So to sit here and say that Biden has a better chance, listen, one of the things that the president said during his appearance at the correspondence dinner this past year is that he made a joke out of it, but he talked about how, but there's some truth to this. He talked about how fellow Democrats are saying, look, your poll numbers are down. You know, you're somewhat toxic. You know, maybe we shouldn't, you know, attach our caboose to you, per se, because you're not very popular right now. So the bottom line is that why would, if he's not a popular president, why would people say, okay, we don't like President Obama, but then we're going to go ahead and bring in his vice president. We don't like his policies, and some people don't like the color of his skin, but guess what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and bring in Biden for another 8 years? Come on, Dr. President O'Dea, that doesn't even sound right.
Well, guess what? After President Barack Obama's first term, people didn't think so either, right? I mean, I'm just saying. After the first term, people wouldn't even have imagined. Like, are you kidding me? Because he had put all of his ducks in a row. He had things popping off, but he sure wasn't the most favored. That's for darn sure, to say the least. And guess what? He made it, okay? And he made it. He beat the odds. Things weren't in his favor either. So I'm not really, I mean, I think we can look at our history just recently to say that we can't be fooled by all that. We have to, let's just keep it real. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And I think at some point there's going, I don't know. I mean, if not, it's a great thing, and I'm very happy for our country because I know me, myself, my vote is with Hillary, but I'm just saying,
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You said you're voting for Hillary Clinton. Why? What is it? What policies does she have that you support? Why is she your candidate? Can you tell us that?
I'm just going to tell you she's my candidate. That's who I'm voting for. And that's what I'm going to tell you.
Why? I'm asking you why.
Because of her track record.
Okay, so give me some examples. I'm asking you, if you vote for someone, see, here's the mistake a lot of people make. They vote with their heart, not their head. You vote for what's happening for you, what makes sense for you, and what's best for your family. So I'm asking you, just in case there are other people out there who are on the fence, what about her track record that entices you to vote, that will make you vote for her, that entices you to vote for this lady? What is it about her track record that makes you want to select Hillary in 2016?
I like her support for women. I like her support, well, just people, period, but for women. She is a philanthropist. She's for the people. I've never seen her caught in mess. She's always been a lady, and she's always been
You have
very
never seen
strong.
A Oh,
no,
my
God. No, not
oh.
her personally.
I don't know if
not
I can do this.
Personally.
Oh, my
but
God. Are you serious?
I haven't. Well, listen. Let's put this disclaimer out there. I have not. To Hillary, I have not. She has not been in the tabloids in a negative way where I say that it's been so, like, she's constantly in the tabloids and she's messing up. She wouldn't be where she is today. When her, you know, even when Bill Clinton was president, and I can't remember every significant thing, every little bitty thing, but even when she was president, seriously, I remember saying she's the one that's the strength behind him. And our country did pretty okay in his tenure.
But you haven't given me any facts, though. You haven't given me anything.
You know
you said
you know
her track record. What
I want to be specific.
What in her
I want to be specific, and I know I don't know the specific political terms to use.
So then why are you voting for her, then, if you don't know?
Because I know. Why? But to give you a specific case, I'm not in position right now. I would like to do my homework so I can give you point you directly to why I'm saying and directly what I'm saying.
So
but
then,
I know
okay, so,
that I've,
okay.
I have followed her when she was with Clinton, and I was young, much younger then.
But if you follow someone, Dr. Princess, how do you not know what her policies are?
When I say, you know what? I'm not going there with you. What I'm saying to you is that Even back then, I used to say she's the reason that Clinton is doing so well. I didn't have that much faith in Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton, I don't know, just something about him. But it was Hillary. And right now, she's appointed, and she's with President Barack Obama. And
but hold up. First of all, let me stop you here because
I'm done with that because I don't.
Okay,
know
thank you. Let me stop
thank
you right
you
here
much.
Because here's the issue: what she's starting to do right now. She's starting to distance herself from President Obama, because a lot of people on the left says that she's more hawkish than he is. She understands the political environment that's going on right now. She knows that the president is not very popular. You know, we had a big thing on our show Wednesday night when, you know, Vanessa came on, well, on the Jay Ryle show, I should say, because, you know, it's two different shows, where Vanessa Haynes, one of our co-hosts, had made some comments about one of our other co-hosts because of something that he did on Facebook to the president's picture. So he's not a very popular president right now. And so Hillary's smart enough to figure that out. But for someone to say that they're going to support someone, and the first thing that came out of your mouth was because she's a woman, then you're supporting her for all the wrong reasons. And for you to sit here and say that you support her and you don't know any of her policies is ridiculous.
Don't say that I said because she's a woman. Don't say that because I didn't say that. So don't
That's
take
the
that
first thing that came
it.
Out of your mouth.
I didn't say that.
I did not. I said she supports the women. That's what I said. She supports women. That's what I said. And she is very strong behind women. That's what I said. I didn't say that because she's a woman. If Joe Biden was the same way, I mean, I always tell you this. I'm not a political strategist, and I really don't sit up and
for
watch
damn
political
sure.
channel. You're right, and I say it boldly. I don't, and not ashamed of it. I really don't. So when it comes down to it, when it's time for me to make my vote, that's when I do my research, and that's the bottom line. I don't sit up on the political channel of CNN and watch it all day. I just don't. I study
so then you can't...
for this show. Yes,
okay,
I know.
So let me ask you a question.
I can. I just cannot remember exactly the specifics, but I know where my where I'm going to vote, and I know what I'm going to do. And before I actually put the little tick on the sheet, of course, I'm going to do my research. I'm going to do extensive research. You know, when
so
I have
can
to
we
make
agree?
Decision,
let me ask you this: Can we agree?
Decision, I will.
Can we agree that it's irresponsible for you to say that you're going to support someone and you don't know anything about their policies?
It's not that
at all.
I don't any. No, it's not. I just cannot remember.
Well, then tell me. I'm asking you for one thing, Dr. Princess
Aldea.
I'm
just telling you that, and that's that. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not going to get into it because I want to be, when I say something, I want it to be said, and I want it to be what it is.
Okay.
And I am not prepared to do that. So that's good.
Fair enough. It's 5 before the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'll call the numbers 347-850-127, 237-850-127. You can call in, be a part of the conversation. If you're tuning in, just tuning in, Mr. Elias is with family this weekend, so he won't be here. He'll be back next Sunday. Jerome Esprit apparently has something going on where he's not here this morning, so it's me and the lovely Doc. And I think people are taking votes to see how long will it be before I start cursing on the air. So, and I'll tell you, I'm holding strong. Let's get out to, is this light skin? Good morning. Welcome to the Serious Side. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is, you know who this is.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. God bless, man. You know,
I got nervous,
when you,
I
was listening,
all of a
you know,
sudden.
I'm listening to you trying to explain to Dr. Princess why it's important for her to understand what policy she's about to agree with.
Yeah.
And I'm not hearing anybody else get involved. And then I heard you say Jerome was gone, Mr. Elias is gone, and this is you and Dr. Princess. I said, I'm not going to leave him out there like this. There's no way.
God bless you. God bless you. Because I tell you, Lightskin, this has been one of these shows, man. People are in the chat room saying how long will it be before he starts cursing, you know. And I'm trying to maintain my professionalism, but this woman is pushing me to the edge, man. Thank you, and God bless you for calling in this morning. Jesus.
Now you know, I really was, you know, when Barack Obama ran the first time.
Yes.
I was one of those people that was with Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was with Hillary in the beginning was because I felt like Hillary would be a better president because she had more experience.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, that Barack should be the vice president. And if we had Hillary for 8 years, we could have Barack for 8 years, which would give us 16 years of Democratic rule. But I always liked Barack, and I bought his book, and I told other people about him because I thought he was a great up-and-coming talent as it related to the world of politics.
But you're not a fan of his, though. You're not a fan of President
Obama. Not now, no, because Barack didn't live up to what he said he was going to do. And see, people think, and I never blamed the economy on Barack because it wasn't his. What I wanted Barack to do was be exactly what he said he was, which was the president of change. That he would be transparent. That, you know, and he only needed to do three things to prove that he was the president. Okay, Dr. Princess.
Can he finish, please, Dr. Princess? Thank you.
So you know, in order for him to be different than any other president, he had to do three things at the beginning of his when he had all the power. Number one, he had to remodify every home loan. He had to make the banks, because we gave the banks $1.1 trillion. Now, if the banks failed, then the federal government would have took him over. So we would have ended up giving that money to him anyway, but we would have gave it to him through the federal government, which would have put us in more control. But we gave the banks $1.1 trillion of the American public's money. I felt like, you know, and I thought Barack was going to make them remodify all home loans because of the Ponzi scheme that our government, banks, and brokers played on the American public. So remodify all home loans. Make sure small business people, legitimate small business people, were able to get loans because, because they need to be able to borrow from the bank the same way, you know, we were giving money to the car companies and everything. He didn't mandate that. And overhaul Wall Street. But when I looked at his cabinet, I started to realize that this guy, and I like Barack, overall as a speaker and everything, I like him. But as a president, he fell short. He didn't do what he, you know, and as a man of color, I felt like he would address those issues. So a lot of people said, well, President, you know, President Barack Obama, you know, he's everybody's president. He can't address, you know, the issues of black people. He absolutely can. The same way, you know, governors and mayors of cities, Latin city, the Latins and the Asians, they deal with their communities. Barack hasn't engaged the community. He let Troy Davis, you know, he could have stepped in on the Troy Davis thing in Atlanta when they were executing Troy, without proper cause, as far as I'm concerned. There was a lot of sketchy information. You know, the NAACP had this national campaign, and Barack Obama didn't say anything. Jordan Miles in Pennsylvania, his lawyer came on our show and said that Barack Obama and Eric Holder wasn't going to do anything because they needed the state of Pennsylvania in order to get his second election to happen. And even though these three, and I don't know if you guys know, go put in Jordan Miles, you'll know who this guy is, little young kid who was an honor student, walking to his grandmother's house to go look after her. Three white men, over 6 feet tall. This guy is 5'6", 160 pounds. Three white men jump out of a car, unmarked car. They chase him down the street. They're over 6 feet tall. Two of them are former Marines. One's a martial art expert. The other one is not a Marine, but he is a martial art expert, a teacher. And they're police, over 6 feet tall. They beat the hell out of this guy and pull his dreads out of his head. Not only do they not get fired, they get put on administrative leave and make more money while on administrative leave than they did when they were working. The Justice Department didn't do anything. So there's certain things that I think Barack Obama hasn't done that you know, so, you know, the Health Care Act is cool and everything. But I'm talking about for people of color and to mend this nation. We haven't had the conversation that we've all avoided, which is, you know, why racism is still prevalent in this country is because we haven't spoken about the very issue that we all run from. Black people are embarrassed by it as though we did something wrong. White folk want to sweep it under the rug because they want to act like it didn't happen, and that's slavery and the idea of reparations for African Americans in this country.
Yeah. Well said. You know, I tell you what, thank God for light skin. All right, look, coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the comments that Mark Cuban made this past week. And are we going overboard with this? You're listening to The Serious Side. It is the top of the hour. We'll be right back after some smooth jazz. Don't go nowhere, folks.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident map of the South, my little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
if I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Welcome back. It's the top of the hour, a little after the top of the hour, I should say. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. This morning we're joined by, and I called him light-skinned. I forget there are people who listen to this show who really don't understand what happens on the other show. So Jay King is in the house this morning sitting in with us. Good morning, Jay King. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay Rao. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. And, of course, that's the guy that's over on the Jay King Network. You can go check him out if you're here on BTR Radio. Just go to the top right-hand corner, type in Jay King Network. It'll pull up all the shows and all the fabulous content that's on that network. And if you're listening from another place, you can always just go to Blog Talk Radio and do that. And we're also joined by Dr. Princess Audia. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I am doing fabulously well. Good morning, Jay and everyone listening.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Of course, Mr. Elias is not here this morning. One of our regulars, he's spending time with our family. With our family. And our political strategist, Jerome Esprit, is unavailable this morning. Folks, we've had a great conversation so far. We're talking about a lot of things. But coming up next, we're talking about, and the lead in says NBA. And I'm going to tell you what NBA stands for, what we actually wrote in regards to that. NBA means nothing but asses, as far as I'm concerned, with the Donald Sterling situation still brewing within the NBA. Another owner comes out and says some controversial things about minorities. Now, the question is, are we making a big deal out of this? Because I think that if you go back and really listen to what the guy is saying, there has to be some truth in that statement. Now, people may disagree with me, but, you know, let's start the conversation. Now, Dr. Princess of D, I'm not really sure if you heard what Mark Cuban said. I know that you're not a person that watches a lot of TV. You're out and about. You're saving the world one person at a time. And so I know that sometimes your hectic schedule will not allow you to do what us common folks do, which is, you know, hang out and listen to the news. So bottom line is that just in case you haven't heard what – first of all, let me ask you, have you heard the comments that Mark Cuban made? Outside of what you just heard on our post, or no?
No, no. I only heard what you said, and as a result of your show, you inspire me to research politics as I prepare for the show. So I haven't heard outside of what you provided us today, but I can relate even just on what he said.
How can you relate if you don't know what he said?
Yeah. No, I know what was said just now. I just said it. I know what he was said just now. So based on what I just heard, I concur, if you would. I know that that is the case. If to speak to the nature of stereotypes, it is so. And just as he said, we stereotype on all levels. Now, I'm just going to comment on the stereotype, and you can go into further depth if there's more to this than the fact that he said what he said. And that is, yes, it's true. People do stereotype the hoodie guy, and they stereotype the punk rock guy the same way.
No, he said that he did it. He didn't say people did. He said that he did it.
Well, you know what? I applaud him for being real. I know what he said. I applaud him for, I mean, yeah, good. I'm glad he said it. I'm not shocked. I mean, maybe we're shocked. Are people shocked because he said it? I mean, good. I'm glad he did. Let's be real. Let's be authentic. That's true. That's how most people are. I mean, seriously. So, I mean, it's the truth. Some of us may be, where he is in his social status, quote unquote,
Well, let's do this, Dr. Prince Zodiac, because I don't want you to go on and on about it, because if you hadn't heard it, let's listen to the clip and then you can comment on the other side.
You know, in this day and age, this country has really come a long way, putting any type of bigotry behind us, regardless of who it's towards, whether it's, you know, the LGBT community, whether it's xenophobia, you know, fear of people from other countries. We've come a long way, and with that progress comes a price, where we're a lot more vigilant in what we, and we're a lot less tolerant of different views. And it's not necessarily easy for everybody to adapt or evolve. I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or the other. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
Okay, so now those were, well, we can't play the whole interview in its entirety, but I think people are looking at this, and let me go to you on this one, Light Skin. Sorry, folks, I'm going to call them Light Skin. I'm used to doing it, and you just have to deal with it. What he said, was it so far out of bounds where people should get upset, especially African Americans?
Well, first of all, let me say this. Mark Cuban is a bigot and a racist. Okay, so,
okay.
So let's just be clear with that. And bigots like people that are like Mark, they've been like that for a long time. And I think this is, you know, even when Donald Sterling, when the thing first came out about Donald Sterling, Mark said, Mark Cuban said, you know, I don't want to get into whether this guy should be able to take a team from somebody. You know, this is going to be a slippery slope. Next thing you know, you know, it'll be anything that we can start taking teams from people. So I don't know if I want to go down that road. Because, you know, white folk have this privilege thing that's connected to them. They feel like they have privilege because they are white. Whether they do it purposely or not, that's what it is. And whether they like it or not, you know, there's some injustices that have happened to us as a people from Black Wall Street where... And you know, people think Black Wall Street only happened in Oklahoma. Anytime there was a black township in these United States of America that started to thrive and prosper, white men would come either as a Ku Klux Klan or as a militia and destroy that township. Not because people of color were doing anything wrong, but because they didn't want to see black folk, people of color, prospering like that. So, you know, when I hear a guy like Mark Cuban, you know, use a hoodie and a black guy, knowing where we are, knowing what, nobody is oblivious to the Trayvon Martin case. Nobody. Black, white, red, green, or indifferent. So for him to say that was insensitive, he knew what he was saying. You know, and Mark Cuban just—he wanted to say what he wanted to say, and in my opinion, he was always going to back up and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way." But he wanted to make his point, and he did. Mark Cuban, but like Dr. Princess said, I'm glad he said it because it should let us know, you know, where we are in this world, where we are in this country, and if we don't—and I'm talking about we—I'm talking about people of color. If we don't demand and protest and stop, just think if the basketball players would have just stopped. Just think if they would have just said, we're not playing today. What it would have done to our whole economy. It would have woke up the whole world because these ball players create hundreds of billions of dollars in the economy of the U.S., both locally and nationally. But because we don't seize the moments that are ours, because if I was them, I would have not played, nobody played basketball. We wouldn't be having this conversation anymore because Donald Sterling would have been out. But if Donald Sterling stays in, I won't be surprised, because Donald Sterling isn't the only one that feels the way he feels. He's the only one that we heard. And Mark Cuban, to some degree, is letting his voice be heard, too. And in a way, as far as I'm concerned, around the back door saying, I'm in solidarity with you, Donald. And that's just my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me say this, and I know people are going to probably disagree with this. And Mr. Elias and I have gotten into it on this on a few occasions, because I recall the situation, because we've had conversations like this before in the past, Dr. Prince, and I said, okay, what about, let's just be real. And I remember a situation where he and I were at a car wash with me, with my daughters. And, you know, we were washing the car. And this car pulled up, low-riding car with a bunch of brothers, you know, braids in their hair, playing thug-ass music, gold teeth in their mouth. They look like bad characters. Mr. Elias pulled my nieces, said, hey, y'all come here. Now, he argues with me on this all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. Because he said, well, I didn't do that because of the way they look. I did that because I wanted them to be closer. But wait a minute. You didn't say anything when other people were pulling up doing that. But when they pulled up, you decided to pull the kids towards you. And I guess my point is that are we hypocritical when we say he shouldn't have made those comments, Dr. Prince's Audia? Because I think we all have done this. Mr. Elias did it. Now, he'll deny it. But I know when he saw those guys pulled up, he grabbed those kids, and he didn't do it before.
Yeah, but it's not under the same pretense.
What do you mean
you
by that?
You see what I'm saying? What I mean by that is this: it's not under, you know, bad characters are bad characters. I don't care what color.
And
you
talk about because
okay?
of the character, though.
Yeah, you're talking about guys that are, you know, that probably. That look like troublemakers, that are loud, that got, you know, they probably are. They probably, you know, and you can feel vibration and energy. But the bottom line is this. It's not under the same pretense as, and you know, and I think Mark Cuban's, where...
I like to answer my question.
You can. I'm sorry, Dr. Prince. I just wanted to say where Mark Cuban is making up a scenario, you know, it's just so general the way he makes up the scenario. All he saw was a guy with a hoodie on. So, so he's saying every black guy in a hoodie is a bad guy. You know, Mr. Elias saw a circumstance and saw a situation that could probably get hairy, and it was real. So I think the pretense was different. Go ahead, Dr. Princess. I'm sorry.
No, I do have a question. Maybe I missed something. With this conversation that he was having, we all can derive that, okay, when he's talking about the hoodie, he's apparently talking about the Trayvon Martin case.
He did apologize to the family because he realized that he said something that was still fresh in a lot of people's minds. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So, okay, thank you very much. Because I just wanted to clarify. I, when I heard it, I didn't think that he was in reference to that. I said, but you guys were saying, based on that stereotype, that can be a conversation, because that's been a conversation. People have been walking around with hoodies on to make statements and all of that, so I get it. But I'm going to say that he was honestly just real. Come on. I feel the same way. I think a lot of us do. We don't say it, and those things come up and pop up at certain times. If I'm in the hood, for example, and this is interesting, I had to check myself one day, because I do have one of my friends. She has a son, and they're very educated and everything, right? Her son, if I were to see him on the street along with his friends, who are just wonderful, wonderful young men, if I didn't know them, I wouldn't be around them. I would automatically probably assume that they're wild, they're really, really, really rough. I might clutch my purse, I might watch my tail, because I just don't know. But then I was watching, and as I was in the home with them, and I know them, I've known him from a little boy, I'm thinking, wow, I was thinking about my own prejudice. Like, wow, how I would have judged him. I said, I really have to watch that. Because they would have been the type that I would have assumed X, Y, Z. Likewise, just like he said, if I'm in a situation where there's a whole bunch of folks that look pretty out there, I don't know. I mean, if they look pretty rough, had all the tattoos on, I'm really not moved by that because I'm around those two, and that's sad. But I wouldn't be so scared to run to the other side unless they were in a certain setting. Then I may not scare, but I would definitely caution myself, or maybe have a presumption of them. So I know that that be the case, and I know there are a lot of people that we have these silent prejudices, but because we will check ourselves, or because we'll say, oh no, you know what, let me not do that, or we'll opt, as I do, and maybe many people do, here, we will follow our intuition more so than respond to what could be the prejudice, or what is the prejudice. We'll respond to our intuition. The intuition may just give you a piece and say it's all good, and you walk there and you go forth. But the first thing is, whoa, I do that even with our own people. You know, a kid, probably shouldn't say this, but it's what happened the other day. A mother was at a program the other day for my daughter. A mother there said that she applauded her son because he did not tell her that when he went to go get his hair cut on 7 Mile, some kids ran up to him, one blocked him in the front. When he went to turn around, a kid had a gun in his back. He got out of a 300-seat Mercedes. He didn't see that. They didn't see that, apparently, I guess. They came up to the guy, gunned him. He said he was going to defend himself. He took out money, and they took $20 and ran. Now, this is something that happens, so when we hear stuff like that, then we think, wow, well, now there may be a prejudice on 7 Mile, or there's a prejudice about black people. It doesn't matter. He spoke. I did not get any ill from what he said. He was real. We have come a long way, so we are able to be more free and open wherever we are, and as a result of that, everything is in everybody's face. Because we've got freedom of speech, the gays are out, the punk rockers are out, people who are racist are out, people who are black and want to wear the pants down to the knees, they're out, everybody's out. So whatever prejudice you have, it will be known because you're going to see it because it's in your face. And now we all have to deal with our own truth. And he was just real.
All right, let's get out to the phone lines. Like, we have callers, and let's get them in here before we lose some time here. Let's bring in the Ulysses. Ulysses, good morning. Welcome to the Serious Side. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Diego, California. How are you? I'm just listening to the show, man. I'm enjoying it. And I kind of got a little, you know, off. From what I understand, we're talking about Mark Cuban. And
yeah, the comments that he made.
And, you know, how I was listening to where, you know, I had ran into a situation with, you know, a couple of black guys that they were young men that looked like they were in the streets. And, you know, at first, for a split second, I was a little apprehensive because it was late at night. Well, they weren't all black. It was a couple of Mexican guys, you know. But they were young men in their early 20s. But you know what I did? I cut that out, and I looked at them, and I started doing dialogue. I started having dialogue with them. I started talking to them, you know. And when I started talking to them, I found out that they weren't what I thought they were at first.
Uh-huh.
You know? And sometimes if you interact with people, you know, that can change that. But I do agree we do have prejudices about certain people when they look certain type of ways. We do have it. And people are coming out, the sheets, you know, people that they're taking the sheets off their head, you know. And black people, you know, everybody, they're just, it's something about, you know, everything that's happening right now that where people are, they're in fear and you know, it's just crazy right now. But I do agree with Jay when he said that if the players had said, you know what, we're not playing,
right,
that would have had a very powerful impact. But I don't know, you know, we just don't have, you know, we're afraid to do that kind of stuff. You know, black people
right.
don't realize how powerful they are as a nation of people if they would just come together for real. And that's a kumbaya story, but it's just difficult. You know, I don't know what they were saying amongst themselves and why they didn't do anything like that, but it baffles me. But thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the time. I enjoy your
Amen.
Show, too.
Hey, man, appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much for supporting the Serious Side. Now, let me say one thing. The players were going to walk out. Matter of fact, what's the guy, the new commissioner's name? Adam Silver. He got the word that they were going to do it. Matter of fact, Golden State wasn't going to play that next game if the league hadn't done anything about Donald Sterling. And LeBron James and a group of people that already said, look, we're going to shut it down. So I think the players, and I came on the air and apologized because I was the same way. I'm like, okay, how could you play under these circumstances? But I think they were going to take the right path, but the NBA acted so quickly, it really diverted something that could have made an impact, especially during our lifetime.
Yeah.
Let's get back out to the phone lines. Go ahead, light skin, then we have to get to another phone call.
Okay. I'm just going to say, but to me, Jay, what they didn't, they should have shut it down.
Immediately,
nothing happened.
You say.
They should have just stopped. They should have not played basketball, not until, because they're going to do something about it, because something is done about it right now. No basketball, no nothing, until this issue is dealt with.
Absolutely.
I think if they had done that, we'd see this ball moving so quickly that you would say, and I think for black folk, it would have showed us some of the power that we have. We're strong. We have a lot of power. You know, when we're down on each other, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, black folk don't stick together and all that stuff. I believe that black folk are so strong. Now, what they try to make us believe that we're crabs in a barrel and things like that, but that's not true. If we were crabs in a barrel, none of us would be anything because we keep pulling each other down. So I don't agree with the concept of that. But I believe that we have so much more power that if we just band together with it, we'll scare the hell out of the world.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. One of our regular callers, listeners, he listens to the Jay Rouse Show, but he's listening to the Serious Side. Good morning, Stiletto. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys? Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Brother, where are you calling from today? Where are you today?
I'm in Palestine, Texas.
All right. What's your comment?
I hadn't heard anyone bring this up, but Mark Cuban is not white. He's a Jew. Donald Sterling is not white. He's a Jew.
Okay.
And he was talking in code and symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
What he was saying was, when I see a black man with a hoodie, I don't want to deal with him. But when I go across the street and I see an Aryan nation, I definitely don't want to deal with him because he don't like me. So I'm forced to go back and deal with that brother because he may have a benefit for me. So he was speaking in code. He was speaking all, I believe that he was also sending the message to Donald Sterling, like, listen, hey, I'm with you. But in order for me to say it in a diplomatic way, I'm going to speak in code. Now, mind you, we have to understand the difference between the taskmaster, the slave, and the master. Jews finance the slave trade. So he
right.
is the master. He gets the white man to manage his mess. The Jew and the white man look alike. The Jew has the money. The white man is the enforcer, and we are the slave. But we get it twisted. We think that the white man is the master. No, he's not. He's the enforcer. He's the one that manages. The Jew is the one that owns. So Mark Cuban will not go against a Donald Sterling. What he was saying was, listen, I will not deal with the Aryan. He said, I will go back across the street and deal with that brother. So I think that the face of the Jew is what we have a hard time distinguishing. And once we find out who the so-called Jews are, then we will know the difference between the Jew, the master, the white, the taskmaster, and the slave, us.
Wow.
Now, I want to say this first. I didn't even see it like how you just said it, and I get it. I can definitely see that. But I also will say this. I mean, a white man, I mean, they are Jewish, but they're white. And I will say that I've had nothing but awesome success with Jews. I mean, as a business owner,
yeah, I mean, but
I can't
but Dr. Princess,
tell you, I've
taking,
had phenomenal success with Jews.
Yeah, but you're taking your, you know, and trust me, when everything started falling down in your business, when everything started falling down,
we
the cat
did.
that you had
Jews.
Great business with, that guy didn't fall down with you.
Yes,
he didn't
they
take
did.
The hit you
and
did.
And as a matter of fact, it worked. No, listen.
She's
this is
individual achievement.
Right.
But see,
no, I'm
collectively,
not. No, listen.
Collectively as a whole, as a black, as us, we are weak.
No.
We are not strong. Now, when you look at the Jewish community financially, the Jewish community financially is stronger than the black community.
Yes, but you know what? They've always
exactly.
been in my, they've always, let me tell you, not just one set, but in my tenure, the Jews have always been in my corner. As
that's
black
what you
women,
said.
As
said
black
it,
women,
you.
They've been
you're
more in my corner than black. Hold on, we don't want to yellow here. As a black woman, they've been more in my corner than the black men that have been in the same position. Well, not same position, but very close
they're not
position
in the same
that
position
they were in.
Because they're not in the same
well,
position.
Okay, but listen, I will tell you this. I will just speak
Lucky
to the
you're not
Jews.
On my show because
they
you're
have been,
muted by
they
now.
Have, well, Jews have been awesome with me, and I'm going to tell you when the economy fell, the Jews that I was in partnership with, we all fell, and they fell bigger than what I did. Maybe their records weren't as tight as mine. I don't know, but they fell, and they fell major. So I don't concur with that. I've seen Jews suffer. I've seen Jews hit the bottom, and I've seen we've worked together in a massive way to come to the top. So Jews have been a phenomenal asset and instrument, and they have also been phenomenal in the community. I have one young person, well, he's a little older now, but you hear me talk about Itzy Lieberman all the time, who's a Michigan humanitarian. He's a great, great friend, a very close friend of mine. He was the one that when he saw the commercial on TV and some lady who, some colored person, a black person, stole her money, took all her kids' Christmas money and all of this, and, well, actually, just took everything they had on the Christmas Eve. He was the one who watched the news and chased her down and threw the news and
right.
gave her privately and gave her $5,000. He was the one who did that, and not just with her. Just period. And I see
listen,
them with such a great heart.
Dr. Preston, let me jump in here. Listen, let me jump in here real quick. And I think, listen, no one's not saying that there are those isolated situations or incidents where people
right.
do right things. We're talking about the majority, and I think that's where they're going with this, the majority.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is all about.
She's taking her personal, you know, she's
right.
taking her personal crusade and making it, you know, that's the way it is. Most Jewish people, I'm telling you, most Jewish people, especially in business, most Jewish people see black folk inferior, especially in intelligence. And if you don't believe me, go back, just go do some research about the slave trade. People talk about white and the slave trade.
You know what the Jewish man told me?
Listen, the same way you wanted us to hear you, the same way, I know you're lucky you weren't on my show because I'd have muted you already. Twice.
I already know. Be nice. We're on the Sunday show. This is
well,
not the day around the
well, I'm trying to make some points the same way you went on your long diatribe. Now, you know, and I'm glad that and I've done some good business with some Jewish folk too. But the bottom line is, I'm in a business that's ran by Jewish folk, as most businesses are. The bottom line is. And the Jewish people that are real honest and open will tell you, and like the young man who called in said, they were speaking in code. Now, that's why I said, you know, Mark Cuban, from the beginning, all you had to do is listen to what he said in the beginning when they first talked about getting rid of Donald Sterling. Mark Cuban was one of the first to speak out, and he said, I don't know if I'm going to be on the train to kick him out. That's a slippery
yeah.
slope. Next thing you know, it'll be anything. And I'll say this again. I believe Mark Cuban to be a bigot and a racist already. Not just because of what he said, his whole demeanor, to me, the way he look at black folk and the way he treat his connotation when he's speaking, to me, is like a white man, a Jewish man, who is superior to the people that he's in business with, which are his ball players and the coaches that coach that team.
347-850-1272 is our calling number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about the Mark Cuban comments that he made in an interview. And listen, everybody has valid points, and I think that if you go around the way or go around and around and around, you can find situations where people have done things or said things that are out of bounds. You know, and like Dr. Princess Adi said, you know, there are people out there that are Jews that are probably great folks. You know, no one's not denying that. No one's not saying that there are – that's like when people come on and say, we have those brothers that come on our shows and they say things like, you know, white people are the devil, you know, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. You're saying – you can't say all white people are devils. Because all white people are not devils. White people died during the civil rights movement. They were getting their head bashed in on the freedom rides, right, just like other folks. So you can't sit there and make that majority say that statement that overall everyone that looked like this, they're a certain way. I just think that we have to get away from that. Lightskin, let me give you the last word on this segment.
Well, listen, you know, we all do have some type of prejudice, but we don't all speak to them. And we shouldn't, because we're all working on ourselves. You know, when you can recognize that that's not right, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't say that, that's because you know right from wrong, and you recognize the prejudice, which means that it can be corrected. Mark Cuban got on television, and he threw caution to the wind. He didn't care what his position was. In the same way we say these ball players are role models, and they have a responsibility, to the American public at large. So do team owners. They are role models. They have a responsibility to the business community and to the community in general. And when you speak and you say things that can be misconstrued, then you got to be held responsible. So Mark Cuban, the reason why we're having this conversation is because whether it's bold for him to say or not, you know, it's adding fuel to a fire. Don't be surprised if Donald Sterling doesn't sue the NBA, even though they're saying that he's trying to get a team to his wife and all that stuff. All that is for hyperbole. You watch and see. This guy, go look in his past. I've done all kind of research on him. This guy has had hundreds of millions of dollars and have sued people for $5,000, $250. He has sued people. This is what he does. He sued the NBA. He moved his team from San Diego to L.A. even when the NBA told him he couldn't. And then he sued the NBA, and then they settled him for $4 million. So, I don't know what this guy is going to do. I don't know what he's capable of. I just know that his racism and his bigotry has been exposed, and so has Mark Cuban's.
All right, well said. All right, folks, coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. Chatterbox and NPR News. So, folks, we're almost done. We're going to let you go earlier today because, once again, it's Memorial Day weekend. God bless. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go nowhere.
The week that was in the news.
I'm here to give you information on the incident that occurred in Isla Vista at approximately 9:27 p.m. last night. This incident appears to be a mass murder situation. The timeline, as we've been able to put it together thus far, is as follows. At 9:27 p.m., the Sheriff's Dispatch Center received calls of multiple gunshots being fired in the Isla Vista area. We had deputies in the area on foot who also heard a number of shots being fired. The deputies began responding in the direction of the gunshots and immediately found several victims who were suffering from gunshot wounds. As they were performing first aid on those victims, they were also receiving suspect information and a vehicle description. As this was occurring, additional shots were fired and calls were received by the sheriff's dispatch from several areas in Isla Vista.
Folks, welcome back. It's before we go. It's time for before we go. A quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. The only story we really wanted, and we spent a lot of time on that clip, Light Skin, was because of, you know, I tell you what, man, it just seems to me that every time you look up, somebody is getting shot. And this, you know, I don't know, what makes people do the things that they do?
Well, I mean, first of all, I believe that we're in a, you know, we're in a society now that has promoted, you know, things and, you know, and it's, you know, who you are, how you're seen, what you have, how much money you have is more important than people. And so, and I think, you know, because of the shutdown of a lot of the institutions that we have, that, you know, for mental health care and everything, we have a lot of people out on the streets that are, that need mental health care, that aren't being cared for. And this young man, you know, if you saw the his manifesto, if you saw, you know, what he posted on Facebook, all of his postings or ramblings, that would lead you to believe that he could commit such an act.
So, yeah, isn't he the son of a Hollywood producer? Did I read that?
I don't know if he's. They haven't said that here yet. But you know, but he was. You know, he comes from some, you know, some affluence. You know, the area that he was living in. Speaks to that, you know. He was driving a BMW, you know. So, and you know, we have a lot of young people that are really in need of help, of help and care when it comes to, you know, mental health that we're ignoring.
Yeah, and I think the fact that I think that manifesto you were talking about, that Nikki talked about women and all this other stuff, it's just crazy. You just have to be careful where you go. No matter how we feel from a political standpoint, whether you believe in politics or not, I think at the end of the day, none of us want to see people shot and killed. And if you do, then we don't want to be associated with you.
And I don't know if you noticed or not, but you know, the he randomly shot people. But what he did was he went to the sorority, and he knocked on the door for a minute, just banging on the door for 60 seconds straight, and nobody answered the door. And then he saw three girls walking down the street, and those are the girls he shot and killed.
Well, sad situation. And on that note, wow, time for Chatterbox, folks, where we read comments from the chat room and from social media in general. And we have a few comments this morning. And let me start with a comment that was posted by Easy Rider earlier. He says, look, I just hope that they do what's right for our country. I don't know. This will fly for us Dems, and we don't need this right now. The GOP will have open hunting season on us. And he was talking about the whole Hillary versus Biden thing. Vorbobite, hope I'm saying that correctly, said, look, 6 years down the line, or 6 years down the road, the economy is all on Obama now. True statement. And Aminti, the writer, says, again, it's about vibrations of that person. And honestly, I could give a damn if anyone would judge me over it, because it just means we don't vibe, and that's it. All right. More comments coming up. Well, matter of fact, no, it won't, because I tell you, there were a lot. But, you know, when you're running the board by yourself, you just have to get in here and do what you have to do. All right, folks, it's time for an NPR News update. And we'll be back with our final thoughts. And this morning, we will finish the show with Sunday Morning Live, Music of Love and Inspiration. That's coming up all next right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio this fest. We'll be right back.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Pope Francis traveled to Bethlehem today, holding a mass and meeting with Palestinian refugees. He's also visiting Israel for meetings aimed at Christian unity and improving Jewish-Christian relations. NPR's Emily Harris is in Bethlehem. She was there as Francis arrived for mass in Manger Square.
A Song of Bethlehem followed the first prayer of the mass. Thousands of worshippers filled Small Manger Square, near the spot traditionally believed to be the birthplace of Christ. Many people here for Mass are Christians from Asia, migrant workers doing health care in Israel. Arab Christians here say they are thrilled that Francis is visiting what the Pope calls the State of Palestine. In 2012, the United Nations recognized Palestine as an observer state, something Israel and the United States do not support. Pope Francis later travels to Jerusalem, where he will visit the holiest Muslim and Jewish sites there and meet with Israeli officials and religious leaders. Emily Harris, NPR News, Bethlehem.
The Israeli and Palestinian presidents have agreed to meet with Pope Francis at the Vatican next month to discuss stalled peace efforts. Francis extended the offer at the end of that open-air mass in Bethlehem. Authorities near Santa Barbara, California have identified the 22-year-old suspect in the killings of six people Friday night, and who was then believed to have died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Elliot Roger was the son of a Hollywood movie director, and Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown says he wrote a lengthy manifesto prior to the attacks.
It's very apparent of the severe extent of how disturbed Mr. Roger was.
Police are also looking into videos he posted online. They say Roger stabbed three people to death at his apartment before killing three others in the community of Isla Vista near the University of California, Santa Barbara. That wildfire burning in Arizona's Oak Creek Canyon has grown significantly. That's because fire crews are conducting burnout operations intended to rob the fire of fuel. 200 people have been displaced. Another 3,000 remain on standby. From member station KJZZ, Laurel Morales reports from Flagstaff.
Cooler temperatures and calmer winds have helped firefighters on the ground, but the smoke has been so thick and stagnant that at times Incident Command has grounded aircraft. Crews remain wary of the potential for dry lightning. In addition to the weather, Public Information Officer Dylan Winicky says the terrain is another major concern.
It's a lot more unsafe for firefighters to be going down these steep, rugged canyons where there's literally cliff faces and big fuels and everything. So that's why we've been trying to utilize air resources. They've been a huge importance to this fire.
About 1,000 firefighters are working to contain the blaze. For NPR News, I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Well, folks, another show is done, and tell you what, I want to thank Lightskin, a.k.a., well, Jay King, a.k.a. Lightskin, for sitting in this morning. Man, you made life a lot easier to deal with, because had I had to sit here for 2.5 hours with Dr. Princess of D, I would have lost my mind up in here.
If they would have told me that Jay Ryle killed himself, and I said, what? Yeah, man, Dr. Princess was on with him for 2 hours, I would have said, you know, I understand. That's why I got to have the mute button always in action with her. It's always available.
Well, I understand. I definitely understand. All right, look, it's time for our final thoughts, and she's in a bad area. So it's me and you, man. So where she is, Dr. Princess O.D., we usually do ladies first, but you are here for a short period of time. So give me your final thoughts before you drop out again.
My final thought is this. Always stay positive. Know that your perception is you. Whatever you think that it's your makeup, your marinade, it becomes you. People will see you as that. People will respect you or not as that, however you see yourself and others, that is how you are perceived. So stay positive, positive, positive. I cannot stress that enough. We're talking about being happy. We're talking about, you know, in the show today, we had some situations where prejudice was made apparent to us. We're dealing with it. I want you to choose to be positive. Release those prejudices. Follow your intuition when you make your moves, or you, rather than to be negative about someone, follow your intuition about a situation and about your life. Whatever you think, that's who you are, and that's the kind of results that your life will lend you. Believe me. Believe me.
All right.
So stay focused. Oh, and I actually want to say one more thing. I want everyone. I will never hear the last of this, but I want to say one more thing. I want everyone to visit me online at bountifulmove.com, and also don't forget my new Twitter at @PrincessAdelia_. And just so that you, if you are not in the area of Michigan or Canada, I want you to view some of the archives of Transforming Detroit, the catalyst for global transformation, at TransformingDetroitTV.com. That's TransformingDetroitTV.com. he will be new on the ABC network in July 12th, after paternity.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Princess Aldea. Oh, she dropped. God bless us. All right, man, light skin man, give me your final thoughts, brother.
I had a final thought until she started talking. I lost it. you know, this is the time, as far as I'm concerned, for us to have the conversation, the real conversation about race in this country, about slavery, about what's owed to African Americans for the atrocities, for the injustices. This is the time for us to have this conversation. I think, you know, the one thing that Mark Cuban has done that I really respect is that he's opened up the conversation about prejudices and racism in this country. And no matter what anybody says, the way we feel and what we harbor can never be, you know, equated to anybody else in this country, because nobody has suffered other than the Native American the way we have, and they almost don't exist. And so if you guys don't believe that they're trying to wipe us out, go look at the prison population. You look at the population of these United States of America as it relates to people of color, especially African American men, and you go look at the prison population. It's disparaging. If you look at the kind of sentence that we get versus a white man getting the same sentence, it's six times what we get, are the six times what they get, sometimes seven. You know, the institution, the prison and institutionalization of African-American males is equivalent to slavery. And we need to speak up on it. We need to have this conversation. We need to have it now, and we need to have it loud. Oh, don't forget to tune into The Way I See It today, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the J. King Network, www.thejkingnetwork.com, or you can call in at 347-205-9366. We're going to be discussing important people in America, or important people to the world that are obscure, that you never heard of.
Should be good. Don't forget to check it out, folks. Definitely make sure you make your way by there. Hey, my final thoughts are going to be very simple. Bottom line is that it is Memorial Day weekend, and I said this on the Jay Ryle Show last night, and I'll say it here again. You know, whether your politics, you know, look, you have the right in this country to voice your opinion. You have the right to freedom of speech. You have the right to bear arms. You know, people gave their lives in order for you to do that. So you can sit here and hate the government. You can sit here and hate everything that the government represents. But let me tell you something. As a former service member, I'm here to say that those young men and women deserve your support. And they've given their lives so you can live the life that you live today. So when you get a chance, really celebrate the true meaning of what Memorial Day is all about. And on that note, light-skinned man, I'm about to ask you, bro. If it's Sunday, we're talking serious stuff, man. What time is it?
It's Jay Ryle time?
It is time for the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show. So look, for light skin, for Dr. Princess Aldea, to our many callers, God bless you. Be safe this weekend. And until next time, we love you. And remember, if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show. God bless everybody.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Coming up next Sunday morning live, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
96.3 FM is KJM Jams, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live, music of love and inspiration, which happens every Sunday here on BTR Radio. We want you guys to sit back and relax and enjoy 30 minutes of commercial-free music, which starts right now. Keep it locked. Thank you.
When we first met, I always thought that you would be the one that I hope to share my life and my dreams with. Now all that has changed. Nothing we can do is gonna make it better.
I tried everything.
gonna hit a page this time.
Let me take my pedals off. Don't want this thing, but can't let go. Even though I need it so, your arms, they soothe me, but I ain't no game, I ain't no toy, I ain't just brain, this ain't no movie, man, I'm a real woman. Been down this road before. I just need more.
What does my body ignore? What my mind says? I try to keep it intact, but I'm here in despair. I need to. What does my body ignore? What my mind says?
They keep finding me. I wanna lay low, but continuously you do all the right things, so sweet for me. And what do I do?
Them all from me.
broken dreams. Oh, baby, it's never enough time for us. Seems I'm always in a rush. How can I make it up to you? Baby, I'll find a way to make you stay. Do all the things you like. I'd find a way, I'd find the words to say. Baby, I'd find a way to you if I had more time. I need to make more time. This time, this moment, please trust me with your heart. Can you give this foolish man a brand new start? Baby, I'm willing to do anything and everything that you want me to. All I do is ask you to trust me with your everything. Cause I'll find a way,
find a way
to make you stay,
make you stay.
Do all the things you like. Baby, I'll find a way,
find a way.
I'll find the words to say. Maybe I'll find a way to you if I had more time. I need to make more time. This time, I promise you more. I'll make sure that I'll make more. I'll do all these things for you, baby. I'll be sweeter. Better believe that I'll be loving you more and more and more. Yeah.
More time.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.